This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department, whether it's inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The outstanding, and we go back a long way, West Durham ACC Network. We will get to the truly important question, then we'll get to the football stuff in a moment. Have you, since our last meeting a little bit more than 3 months ago, acquired new technology?
Yes.
And how did it work?
Once I kind of got it cranked up, it worked out pretty good. I ended up hitting about, I don't know, I averaged about 11 or 12 fairways around. About 11.
Yeah.
I didn't hit it as far as I should or as I could. But that might have to do with the operator more than the equipment. How's that?
Doggone Nicholas thing about 14 clubs in the bag in one swing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that everybody's aware of our golf games, how are we doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Because I am going to be in the process of also acquiring new technology the old drivers beat up, but yep, actually worked pretty well. I mean, but acquiring new. I mean, did you get to a five? That was the goal.
No, I never got there. I finished at a nine. I went through a pretty bad sequence in June where I was a lost child of the corn in my golf game. And actually, you'll like, and this story is just completely, I'm sure people are like, really? I thought they were going to talk football, and they're talking about their own golf game. So I will share a wild story with you that I ended up not only with a new driver, I ended up with a new putter. And the putter and the driver by the end of the summer, and this is exactly the way, Steve, this whole thing has been written for me for years, is with 2 weeks to go, like before I have to literally stop playing, right, because of our jobs.
Right.
I broke 80 like three times in the last four rounds, in part because of the driver and the putter. And I had a friend of mine go, well, it's a damn shame you got to work for a living. I said, yeah, it is. Thanks. Appreciate you. And, you know, we'll see you next spring. So, but the putter and the driver, the rest of the clubs are all good, but the putter and the driver were particularly good this year.
And the only reason I bring it up is, I guess it was when we were driving to the airport. He looks at me and says, Jonesy, I got to get new technology.
Yeah. Oh, I got new technology. It didn't take long. And the guy who fitted me said, well, no wonder you can't hit it. You're too old to be hitting this club. And that's exactly what I wanted to hear, too. I mean, talk about scared straight. That's
absolutely
perfect.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask you just about your new team, because Tom Luginbill, who had done a lot of analysis from the sideline, is now up in the booth, and Dana Boyle's down on the sideline. How excited are you to be with that kind of team, and the fact that Luginbill now gets more of a chance to analyze on a play-in and play-out basis?
Well, I think there's a lot of things in our business where you pull for people, right? And Tom is somebody who I thought for the last 6 to 8 years is probably deserving of a full-time in-booth role as an analyst. I think his acumen, not just, and people know he's the national recruiting director for ESPN, and he and Craig Harvard do all of that, which, you know, if you're going to take that on, Godspeed. And then he knows the game, and because he's coached the game at the professional level, briefly at the collegiate level, and obviously played it. So when they called me in May and said, hey, this is what we're thinking, I said, that'd be great. I love working with Tim Hasselbeck. Tim Hasselbeck was the best drawer of the game. I think he's the best drawer of football, period, I've ever worked with. I relate his knowledge of the game and his ability to communicate it to what I have on Sundays with Dave Archer and our 21-year partnership on Falcons. But Lugs is great. And Dana Boyle is somebody who, Steve, this is why we're in this industry. And you know this from the role where we're kind of mentors to people. Dana told me 2 years ago she wanted to commit full-time to doing this, and she really wanted to try and get a football package. She had played collegiate lacrosse at Virginia. She's from New Hampshire. She had a great work ethic. She's serious about it. She's not in it for the social media. She's in it to learn the game and communicate the game and tell stories. And so we're very fortunate. We're working with really good people on the production side. Ben Ward and Bob Frateroli are our producer-director. And we're excited about the games we're getting. We had two last week, and we're at Clemson Saturday night for, you know, here's Clemson off the Georgia loss against Appalachian, who's on that short list of teams that could potentially be the G5 team at the end of the year going to the playoffs. So, you know, if we can live up to the billing of the game and handle it from a production standpoint, broadcast standpoint, I think we're going to have a really good year.
Yeah, which you will. I mean, I'm completely confident of that. The ACC's off to an interesting start. Georgia Tech's off to a terrific start.
Yep.
Miami was phenomenal in what they did to Florida.
Yeah.
And of course, but the headlines are Clemson lost 30-3 to whatever it was to Georgia, even though it was 6-0 at halftime, and Florida State's 0-2. So how do you then encapsulate 2 weeks of ACC football?
Well, I said in July, and a lot of people thought I was the company man for doing it, I thought this had a chance to be the deepest the ACC has ever been. And somebody looked at me and goes, well, there's 17 damn schools, so they ought to be deep. And I don't disagree with that. But I thought there was a path for 5 or 6 teams to get to the ACC championship game. And maybe of those 5 or 6, 4 who had legitimate paths to get to the CFP. Well, it just so happens that 2 of those teams haven't won a game yet. The other 3 have gotten to 1-0 and look pretty good. That's Miami, that's Louisville, and that's NC State.
Right.
NC State had a little bit of a sleepwalk, but their exam is Saturday in Charlotte against Tennessee, okay? You know, the 3 teams that probably have been head-scratchers are Virginia Tech, whose fan base and a lot of people thought, told everybody in the offseason they had found it and they were going to be good and lost to Vanderbilt in a game they trailed 17-0.
Right.
And then you mentioned the scenario with Clemson and Florida State. I'm not as concerned about Clemson, Steve, as I am about Florida State.
I agree.
And here's why. I was told how great they were going to be on the defensive front from, like, February on. And in their first 2 weeks, Georgia Tech and Boston College have lined up and been the tougher football team running the ball on them. And it's probably a good time for Mike Norvell to have a bye week. Because a week from Saturday, Memphis comes to Tallahassee. And by the way, that's a game that had to be scheduled because Norvell took the job. Remember that?
Yep.
And now here comes Seth Hennigan and the people at Memphis. And you know Memphis is on the short list of G5s, too, out of the American. So,
that's right.
You know, Florida State better find it between now and next Saturday or else 0-3. And it'll be a lonely, lonely walk back to the field house on that deal if that happens.
No doubt, because Norvell took the job at Florida State and left Memphis when they played Penn State in the Cotton Bowl. So I remember specifically how that played out.
Yep.
What I found interesting is that Jared Verse, Bloomsburg, so a local kid, ends up being a phenomenal player. And then there's the quarterback.
Yeah,
who they wanted to run out of town for 2 years, Jordan Travis. They wanted to run him out of town. The second he got hurt, that's when you saw the dip in Florida State, especially on offense. And they haven't been the same since he got hurt up to now. That's my opinion. You tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I think there's some truth to that. I think the kid, first of all, I had his first snap as a college player at Florida State when he came on in relief at Boston College. When Mike Norvell hadn't even had the job yet. This is when Odell Hagans was the interim coach after they let go of Willie Taggart, right?
Right.
And I mean, and it was unbelievable to watch Jordan Travis. And then remember, they went out and got Mackenzie Milton. Remember that in the transfer portal the first year?
Yep.
And Mackenzie Milton wasn't very good at Florida State, and ultimately Jordan Travis won the job, right, in 20. Right. Or I should say 21. And so when you look at the way that kind of unfolded, Travis became the heartbeat of that football program. Verse was a different kind of leader because Verse had been at Albany. Braden Fisk had been at, like, Western Michigan or whatever, right?
Yep.
Now, all of a sudden, they've gone out and poured a lot of portal money and NIL money into kids who've come from other schools because the fit wasn't right. There were other P5 schools. And maybe it's a different kind of edge that the players bring to the table. But defensively, you know, they're portal guys. Marvin Jones Jr., Daryl Jackson, those guys like that. And as I was told this summer by a football guy, the minute we put money in the equation with these guys, we can now talk about the money.
Right.
Because everybody knows they're getting paid. And so the idea that they're not performing to the standard of the financial investment, well, welcome to kind of what we talk about on Sunday sometimes. And I think that's where Florida State has to go find itself a little bit. Because those guys are too talented not to be that good. And for, like I said, the first two games have been disastrous. But the other question here is, why Uiagalelei, Steve? And I think it's fair to ask that question.
He
was at Clemson. He went to Oregon State, did not hit 62.5% of his passes.
Right.
And now you bring him to Florida State because you think that, okay, well, we can fix this. Jonathan Smith couldn't do it. Brandon Streeter couldn't do it. Dabo Swinney couldn't do it technically as the head coach. Yeah. And I'm not so sure that the kid is – the acumen of the kid at quarterback is going to be fruitful for Florida State when we're all set.
It's incredible. Then you, on the other side, Cam Ward, who showed all the traits at Washington State when he was there. It's only a one-game sample size, but looks like he's the real deal.
Well, and if, you know, if you're football savants like you and I are, you saw him when he was at Incarnate Word playing for G.J. Kinney, who's now at Texas State.
That's right.
And guess what he did at Incarnate Word? He slung it around like he's playing for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was
Incarnate Word was like Kurt Warner and the Rams of St. Louis days. You know, I mean, it was crazy to watch Incarnate Word. And he went to Wazoo and played for the perfect guy. You and I both know that. I mean, he goes up there and they sling it all over the place. So, and apparently, you know, I didn't realize there was this bidding war for him in the portal between FSU and Miami. And somehow he gets to Miami. And part of the reason is he sees the talent they've got. And then, oh, by the way, Damian Martinez shows up to run the rock. And Mario Cristobal's got, and I'm not saying this flippantly, Steve, Miami's got as much talent right now on both sides of the ball as they've had in their ACC history.
Right. I agree.
They're due here. They're really due, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, really due. By the way, did I hear this right? That I mean, it's something on our radio network. It doesn't come into play. But the NCAA, did they just say that players are not going to be interviewed in-game anymore?
Yes, yes, yes.
They made that rule
10 days ago. I heard about it. Let's see. Today is Thursday. We started last Thursday. I heard it a week ago. It'll be 2 weeks Monday I heard it.
It's an interesting group. They think about things that you and I would never think of and also would add to player value, broadcast value, fan value.
Look, well, here's the wording. I haven't seen it written by the NCAA. But I was told that somewhere along the way it was considered a recruiting advantage. Now, that is comical.
How about winning the game? Last I heard, that's a recruiting advantage.
Well, the other thing would be now we're also recruiting advantage. I mean, last time we talked about recruiting advantage was 40 years ago when somebody got a car and the other guy didn't, okay?
Yeah.
And somebody got this and the other guy didn't, or this school could do this and the other school couldn't. And, you know, the reason that the NCAA treats the basketball tournament where, you know, the 16 seed's held in the same arena as the one seed until it comes to the hotels, right?
Yeah.
And now I would say this, the fact that a kid is interviewed on the field during the game, going to the locker room, at halftime. We interviewed Haynes King of Georgia Tech three times last year, going to the locker room at halftime. Twice he was trailing. He was unbelievable.
Yep.
But the idea of the NCAA stopping this because of, quote, recruiting advantages, that in a sentence tells you why we need a restructure of governance from that organization.
Oh, no question. Which then I do want to bring up one other element of money, and that is because we all know at some point the NCAA that Claudia Wilkins is going to approve the settlement with House.
Right.
That means about $23 million.
Yeah.
Per,
yeah.
Which there are a lot of Big Ten schools that can handle that. In your opinion, what's the percentage of ACC schools based on their TV contract that they can handle?
Well, I think you have to go beyond the television contract with this figure. In talking to ADs in and outside of the ACC, there are a lot of schools that tell me this is when the long, hard look's going to occur.
Yeah.
This is when schools are going to have to stand in front of the mirror and go, okay, are we really going to bite this bullet and go? And if so, it's going to take a comprehensive look at the business of college athletics. And this is when it leaves, you know, we're leaving the development office. Because remember, $22 million is one thing. The fact that it's an annual figure is the other, Steve.
Right.
That's a tricky number. That's a really tricky number, and what's it going to be? At what cost is that $22 million going to come? And I think that's where institutions, and there's some long-standing college athletic institutions with a century or more of tradition that are going to have this long look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And it really does come down to an independent decision by the school, because we know chancellors and presidents aren't going to look at other schools in their league. I mean, if they were going to do that, they would have done it already with certain schools and say, hey, look, we appreciate you being in the league for 75 or 80 years, but we're going to ask you to move on here while we're over here doing this financially. Now it's going to come down to people standing in front of the mirror. And I'm afraid that it's going to come at the expense of sports. I think it's going to come at the expense of jobs on campus.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to have to take less money. Yeah. In their particular salaries. Now, you know, some people say, well, this is where the coaching meter comes back, you know, maybe to normalcy, as opposed to the local neighborhood being $9 to $11 million or whatever it is.
Right.
I don't know about that. I think it gets really, really tricky, because every school, and you know this, Penn State's different from Michigan, which is different than Maryland, which is different than, I'll just go ahead and throw Washington in there since they're in your neighborhood now.
Sure.
I mean, same thing in the ACC. Boston College, Wake Forest, Duke, Georgia Tech, Syracuse. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing somebody here along the way.
Pitt.
Maybe even Miami would be different than, say, Clemson, North Carolina, Virginia Tech, NC State. How's that?
Yeah, no, that's fair, because it's not just the $22 million; it's the 4% escalator. That $22 million is going to be the low number. I have to ask you, since you will have the privilege of announcing the Arthur Smith Bowl coming up on Sunday.
Thanks.
No problem. Anytime. What do you think of the Falcons and the opener with the Steelers is in your mind? What do you and Arch think about that?
I think the game for me is, and it's funny, Brooke Pryor from ESPN and I were just talking about this. I think the game for me is so much of an unknown right now as a known.
Right.
That we've built up the Steelers situation at quarterback to be this soap opera. That apparently Mike Tomlin's entire legacy in Pittsburgh hinges on it. Arthur Smith goes in, and his favorite formation is 22. And, you know, I fully expect to see two tight ends and two backs on the field for the first snap, just because that's what I know he likes to do. And Atlanta's got a $100 million quarterback, a first-round pick who's going to hold a clipboard and wear a headset.
Yeah.
And they made more moves on defense in a 24-hour period than they had in my 20 years doing the games during August. With Judon and Simmons. I think it's going to be incredibly entertaining, but I also think that perspective is going to be important, because I think the team that wins still has work to do, and the team that loses can't say, okay, well, we lost the first 60 minutes, our season is over. Right. In Atlanta's case, they play Pittsburgh on Sunday, a week from Monday in Philadelphia, who's in Brazil of all places, right. And then a Sunday night game against the Chiefs, and then three straight division games in their first six, Steve. I mean, yeah. I get the first game, but I'll be damned, that's not the most important of those first six by any stretch of the imagination.
Right. Aye, aye. Well, it is always great to talk with you. Look, the two of us could probably talk for hours.
About new technology, among other things. Absolutely.
New technology is great. I mean, yeah. I did get myself to an 11, so I felt good about that. So
there you go. Right. That's good.
Right. You know, you saw
it. And
you,
I'm appreciative of being an auxiliary member of the Big Ten Radio Alliance.
And absolutely, which brings with it that night at the hotel where you all just get to sit around and tell stories. Lots of stories.
Yeah. And I changed everybody's life on Kurt Gowdy, didn't I? Everybody.
And we will leave it at that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that is a what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas story.
That's it. There you go. All right.
Larry Munson. All right. Thanks, Wes. You're the best.
Take care, Steve. All the best.
Brother.
Have a great year.
You too, brother.
Same. All right, man.
All right. That's brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Roads, 11 and 15, Hubble's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.